right. Christmas 2021. Congratulations. Let's stand together. It is time to worship and celebrate the King. O come, all ye faithful. Here we go.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that happened when Jesus was born was worship. The heavenly host sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth, goodwill to men." Come on, give glory to God. This is what Christmas is all about. And we say it every year, but I wrote this song just to remind us. And it just goes like this. Some of you never heard it. Some of you have, but it goes, I vow to worship you this Christmas day. I stand and say, glory, glory in the highest, and it's just this day. Oh, I pledge to celebrate the meaning of this holiday, giving praises to the beauty of your holy name. Let's try it again, everybody. Here we go. Oh, I vow to worship you. This Christmas day, I'll stand and say, glory, glory in the highest, and it shall sustain. Oh, I pledge to celebrate the meaning of this holiday, giving praises to the beauty of your holy name.
All right, the ladies are going to sing.
More than anything I do, more than anything I say, more than anything I
guys, oh, more than any card I write, more than any Christmas light I light, more than a gift I,
everybody,
I give you my praises from morning to night, yeah. I'm about to worship you this Christmas day. I'll stand and say, glory, glory in the highest, and it's just a day. I bless you, celebrate. Be the first to just pray. Lord, we want you to get all the glory and the honor and the praise and the adoration and the love, just like the heavenly host saying glory to God. We join with heaven. We join with nations today. Oh, we join with so many saying, you are the Lord. You are the promised one. the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one we cherish, the one we love, we adore. Come, bring your presence, your glory, in a fresh way, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Well, actually, I think it was Monday, and I was having my little quiet time, and I was thinking about the heavenly host who were the big welcoming party for Jesus when he was born Christmas morning. And then I just had this thought, well, as they welcomed Jesus to the earth that day, Jesus, I welcome you to my heart. And this little, simple little song came to me suddenly, and I thought when it was done, we need to hear some children sing this song. So, Evan and John Park are going to come up and lead us. Together. I pray, Lord, in my heart today, today and every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come and be my master, Savior, Lord. Make sure you know that's Jacob Park's sons. If you guys want to be worship leaders, I know a great dad that can teach you, okay? And so Ingrid has prepared a Christmas piece for us all the years. It's touched me so deeply. Thank you, Ingrid, but also with Mike and Chris, and they're going to bless you with their gifts. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. What I really want for Christmas is records for my new record player.
What I really want for Christmas is a Nintendo Switch.
What I really want for Christmas is a luxurious dip in the butter pool on top of my dad's mashed potatoes. Is that weird?
What I really want for Christmas is an Oculus.
What I really want for Christmas is a pickleball court.
What I really want for Christmas is a huge stack of books.
What I really want for Christmas is banana cream pie.
What I really want for Christmas is for my newborn baby to sleep through the night.
What I really want for Christmas is some good eggnog.
Under my tree, there are presents there for me, big and small. There are some I cannot wait to see, but there is one so much greater than them all. And I'm praying this December, this gift I will receive. It's your presence, Lord, this is what it's your love and peace living here in me. Of all the precious gifts I'm hoping to receive, it's the gift of your sweet presence that means the most to me. In the night,
we can all sing.
Parties and friends, singing carols by the fire. But there's only one thing that can meet my deepest needs. And I'm praying this December, this gift I will receive. It's your prayer. It's your perfect peace. It's your still small voice. It's your healing touch. And you're so free. That's what I want. That's what I need. It's your perfect peace. Oh, it's your still small voice. Oh, it's your healing touch. And you're so free. That's what
let's stand and sing it.
That's stand what
together.
I need.
It's your perfect peace, yeah, yeah.
It's your still small voice. It's your healing touch. And you're so free. That's what I want. That's what I need. It's your perfect peace, Lord. It's your still small voice. Presence, Lord, this is what I long for. means the most to me. Oh, it's your presence, Lord. This is what I long for. It's your love and peace. Oh, living here in me. Of all the precious gifts, I'm hoping to receive. It's the gift of your sweet presence that means the most to me.
It's the gift.
It's the gift of your sweet presence that means the most to me. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, we believe it, we believe it. There is power
in the name of Jesus.
Oh, to break every chain. Oh, break every chain. Break every chain. We do pray that your name would be the name that would break the chains of depression in this place, to break the chains of anxiety overtaking our thoughts in this place, breaking through the chains of hopelessness into joy and hope again. Hallelujah. Come and reign, come and rule, come be the light of the world in our lives, we pray. I want you to sing like this.
And he shall reign forever and ever.
Sing again.
And he shall reign forever and ever.
Over your life, over your family, sing it again.
And he shall reign. Oh, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Maybe we could sing.
We love your name, Jesus.
Like this.
We love your name, Jesus.
Somebody help me with that.
We love your name, Jesus.
We love you, Lord. We love your name. We love your presence. It's our favorite present, Lord. Your glory, your nearness in this place. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. It's time for a greeting time in heaven. We'll just keep going, but let's go on to the next section and say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody. Weren't those Park Boys precious? Well, welcome to everybody. Great to be joining those of you who are with us online. If anybody would fill out a connection card that's in your seat back or stop by the table that's out in the lobby, we'll make sure that we have one of our pastors connect with you. Please note Christmas Eve services that will be this week. Four options. And if you got family and friends who are with you, bring them. It'll be a great time of celebration. We will not have services on the 25th and 26th. If anybody would like to sort of deepen your sense of belonging to the life of Christian Assembly, the best way to do that is through partnership. It will begin January 23rd. Great way to start the year. So you can register for that online. And then would you notice the service times for our year-end New Year's Eve services, three services. And we will not have services on the 1st and 2nd. And then Tom will be launching into a new series January 8th and 9th. Entitled Sowing and Reaping. We're going to take a deep dive and sit with that remarkable kingdom principle for 3 weeks in January. And we'll reflect on the goodness and kindness of God as our ushers come and we give our tithes and offerings. If you're visiting, please feel no obligation. And to the rest of the CA family, God bless you richly as you give. Again, ushers, would you come?
All right, let's listen to the reading of God's word.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared before him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, be not afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to the son, and they gave him the name Jesus.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Comfort and joy. Can we thank the team one more time? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I want to welcome all of you who are here with us in this room, as well as all of you online. To my CA family, from Allison and I, we want to say Merry Christmas as well to all the visitors or guests. I met some of you in the courtyard on the way in, some of you online. Maybe your very first time being with us here at Christian Assembly. We're so honored that you've made the time to be with us. Well, before we jump into our message, I have a fun and special announcement to make. Jesus told his disciples that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, which is a city that they were in Samaria, which was kind of the wider region around that, and to the ends of the earth, which obviously is the whole planet. As many of you will know, in 2019, our church, because of your ongoing generosity, we were able to clear the medical debt owed on the secondary market for anybody who is poor in any of the 28 neighborhoods that you all live, that we all kind of live in. So we cleared all the medical debt owed by the poor, helping over 5,000 people in Jesus' name. And that was really our Jerusalem. Well, in 2020, because of your ongoing generosity, we were able to expand that across the country with partnerships with 12 other churches. We cleared all the medical debt owed by the poor in San Diego, the entire state of Oregon, Jacksonville, Florida, the entire state of New Hampshire, Grand Rapids, Michigan, the list goes on. And it was amazing to see, and that was kind of our effort in Samaria. We helped an additional 15,000 people were helped by that endeavor. So now it's 2021, and this summer we prayed and just said, Lord, is there something special in addition that you'd want us to do above and beyond what we're already doing to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth? And ultimately the answer was yes, and what I'm about to share with you was unanimously approved by our CA Council just 2 weeks ago, so this is kind of hot off the presses. So here is what we are going to be doing as part of our witness to the ends of the earth. We're going to be doing what I am calling Clean Water, Bibles, and Discipleship Projects in Ghana, Africa. Now, let me walk you through this so you understand why we're doing what we're doing. First of all, clean water. Why would we do clean water? Well, in Matthew 25, Jesus indicates that one of the marks of the kingdom is he says, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And the righteous reply and they say to him, well, when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? And Jesus says there that I tell you, when you've done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were in fact doing it to me. So if the wise men can bring three gifts to Jesus to worship Jesus on his birthday, so can we. So we're not just going to do one well or two wells, but we're going to do three clean water well projects. And it won't just give one thirsty person a cup of water to drink on one day. It will help over 5,000 people immediately. And it won't just do it that one day, but it will help those 5,000 people and even more beyond that for many years to come. Plus, as many of you know, that because this is a clean water project, they will no longer have to rely on tainted or polluted water sources, which can degrade their health and transmit diseases. In addition to that, many of the people that are going to be helped are children. And because they won't have to travel as far to get the water, it's actually going to give them more time to be in education, which is going to help break the cycle of poverty in Jesus' name. And we are doing this in partnership with an organization called Compassion International that has been around forever, highly rated on Charity Navigator. And I have a long personal history with them, just my own commitment to being part of their work to end poverty in Jesus' name. So clean water is the first part. The second part of each project is Bibles. Why would we do Bibles? Well, we don't just want to quench physical thirst with physical water. Why not? Well, in John chapter 4, Jesus is actually seated at a well when he said, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. It will become a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So in each village where we drill a well, we will also be giving Bibles to any child or adult who wants one, who does not have a copy of one. And so thousands of Bibles will be distributed, trusting God to use his word to help people drink deeply from the water that Jesus gives that leads them to eternal life. In addition to that, the third part of each of these projects is that we will be doing discipleship. Jesus said, go into the nations and make disciples. So the final part of our financial gift is going to be to specifically designed to help strengthen the discipleship efforts of the lives of the people who will benefit from the wells and the Bibles. We'll be doing this through local churches with trusted partners in Ghana. We'll be trusting with some local indigenous Ghanaian pastors on this work. So you might be wondering, how much is this going to cost us? Well, it's going to cost $50,000 per project, but we're doing three of them, so it's going to cost $150,000. This is above and beyond the kingdom work that we're doing both locally and globally, the 36 different endeavors that we've already done around the globe so far this year. And the good news is the $150,000, we're not going to raise it because you've already given it throughout the course of the year, so we already have the money because of your ongoing generosity. So if you've given back to God through Christian Assembly this year, whether online, in person, you are part of this. Invariably, there are people that would say, well, I didn't, or I'm brand new, I want to be part of it. What do I do? Is there some special fund? No, there's no special fund. You just give back to God through the regular offerings or the kingdom offerings, and that is the fund that we use to do these types of endeavors. So this Christmas, we are giving clean water, Bibles, and discipleship to over 5,000 people. As Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. So therefore, what that means, church, is that we are so blessed and fortunate that we get to give Jesus this gift on his birthday. How amazing is that? Can we applaud God's good work among us, right? And I'm excited because as the projects are completed, of course, we'll have some videos and stuff that we'll be able to share once that all happens. So thank you for your ongoing generosity. Well, whether you are here because a friend invited you, a regular part of our CA family, maybe you found us online through a search engine, whatever it might be, you are not here by chance. I consider this part one of a two-part celebration, because this weekend, as you've already heard, we'll also be doing our Christmas Eve celebrations on Thursday and Friday. And I'm inviting you now, whether you're online, in person, to join us, and for you to be a person that invites some others to join us as well. Well, I love so many of the songs that fill the air at this time of year. It feels like music is everywhere, whether it's, you know, in the malls or obviously here or on the radios. You're hearing all the Christmas carols and Christmas hymns, and I love them. But if you listen closely, I think some of them, just honestly, are a little bit weird, right? If you listen to the lyrics, I mean, just think about it for a moment. One of my favorite songs is Silent Night, right? Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. But every time I sing that, I think whoever wrote that lyric has never been present at a live birth. I've been present at live births. They weren't calm and they were not silent. Like, there were no epidurals available to Mary, no pain-killing medications available on this night. Or maybe the one that makes me chuckle the most is the song that says, a child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. I always think, like, really? How about a blanket? A blanket might be better if he's shivering in the cold. Like, bring him silver and gold so he's loaded now, but he has pneumonia. Like, that's the best we're going for. Like, whoever wrote that lyric needs to take a class in appropriate gift giving, I kind of think so. But not all of them are strange. Some of them are profoundly biblical, deeply theological, and emotionally moving if you consider them. And maybe one of my favorite lyrics of all time is the line that says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Boy, is our world weary. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. So we're going to consider the hope that Christ brings us this Christmas. But before we do, let's pray. God, you are the hope bringer, the promise keeper, the grace giver, the redeemer, the one who makes all things new. As we come to your word, would you speak to us now? Calm our hearts, clear our minds, remove all distractions, that we might hear from you what you want to say to us this Christmas, we pray. and help us respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. On the way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you open it up to the center section, you'll see the teaching notes are there. If you're catching us online on our website, we also have the scriptures that are there for you as well. Well, Christmas is the story of the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says it this way. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. And how did the birth come about? Well, we heard the details read earlier, but Matthew underscores the details with this statement in verse 22 and 23. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In other words, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about exactly as God had promised. For thousands of years, God had sent prophets promising that he would send the Messiah, his son, to save us from our sins. The prophet Micah told us that this Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah told us that he'd be born of a virgin. Genesis told us that he'd be born of the tribe of Judah. Samuel told us that he'd be of the ancestral line of King David. Hosea told us that he'd have to flee to Egypt. The Psalms told us exactly how he would be killed. Zechariah told us that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Isaiah told us that he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. And I just gave you eight of the 60 major Old Testament prophecies that describe the birth and life of the Messiah, that describe who Jesus is that he fulfilled in the manger. I gave you just eight of them, but there are up to 60 of them, depending on how you count them. For Jesus to fulfill those purely by chance is a number that is so large that there is no word for it in the English language. It's a number that's so large that scientists estimate and mathematical statisticians estimate that it is larger than the number of atoms within the known universe. It's a number with a one followed by 484 zeros. Put that into perspective a little bit, give you some sense of scale. Your chance of being struck by lightning in your life is about 1 in 3,000. That's a three with only, that's only three zeros behind it. Not 484 zeros. In other words, a thrill of hope begins to rise in us when we see that the birth of Christ did not happen by chance. It didn't happen by luck. It wasn't coincidence. All the details were exactly as God promised. You know, the interesting thing about God's promises when you look at them in Scripture, and certainly these promises as well, is that sometimes one of his promise actually then, when it's fulfilled, it leads to more promises. It unlocks more promises about what's going to happen next. And this is certainly the case with the fulfilled promise of the Savior that we celebrate at Christmas. Consider with me Micah chapter 5. Which is where the promise comes from, the prophecy comes from, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. When the Magi show up in Jerusalem and they ask where the Messiah, they're following the star, where is he going to be born? They're told, well, he's going to be born, according to Micah chapter 5, in this little town of Bethlehem. Here's the whole set of promises. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, 4 to 5, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be a ruler." And I love this phrase, "whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. He will stand," here are the promises, "he will stand and shepherd his flock in strength of the Lord, and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will dwell secure. For now he will become great to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." So what I want to do in our time is I want to focus on the fact that the promise of the Savior, Jesus, God with us, being fulfilled, that he would be born in Bethlehem, actually unlocks three more promises, according to the prophet Micah, of what exactly Jesus is going to do whenever he grows up from the manger, what we can look forward to. And these are some of the promises this Christmas that God has for me and for you to remember. And as we remember them, may we remember, as we've already seen, that God always delivers on his promises. The first one is this. The first Christmas promise is that Jesus will shepherd his flock with strength. A shepherd is a leader of sheep. He protects sheep. He helps them find nourishment they need. He charts their path on their way. You know, one of the marks of our time is a radical sense of independence and self-reliance. But if you listen closely to people's language, everybody has a shepherd. Your shepherd might be named S&P 500. Your shepherd might be named Democratic Party, Republican Party, Independent Party. Your shepherd might be named a social media influencer. You have a shepherd. Who is your shepherd? Everyone has a shepherd. We think we have this radical sense of independence and self-reliance. And not everybody wants to be led these days. Or so we think until we're brought to our limit. It's funny, we want to be self-reliant, but we simultaneously say to one another, I'm overwhelmed. We get ourselves into situations that we cannot control and we cannot handle. Eventually, this happens to all of us in life. There's a guy, he's a shepherd, his name is Andrew Bonar, and he tells about the highlands of Scotland, where sheep would often wander into rocky places, and they would eventually get into places that they couldn't get out of on their own. What would happen is the grass in this kind of rocky mountain area is very sweet, and sheep like it, and sometimes they would be up on these rocks, and they would look down, and they would see the grass that they would want, and so they would jump down, sometimes up to 10 feet, to get down to a patch of grass. But then, once they've eaten the grass, they realize that though they can jump down 10 feet, they cannot jump back up 10 feet to get back up from where they came down from. So they're stuck. There's nothing they can do to rescue themselves until the shepherd hears them bleeding out in distress. They might have been there for days until they've eaten all the grass. They don't begin to realize that challenge of what they've created for themselves until they eat all the grass. But once all the grass is gone and they realize there's a cliff and they can't get back up, they begin to call out. What's interesting is that Andrew Bonar writes that as a shepherd, he would have to wait until they became so faint that they can't stand, that they lose their strength to the point where they literally have to lay down. And then and only then would he climb down and go over and put a rope around them, climb back up the rocks and gently pull the sheep up out of the jaws of death. And he was asked, well, why don't you as a shepherd just go down and get them whenever the sheep first get there? And he said, but some of the sheep, you need to know, they're so foolish that if they see me coming, they would dash right over the precipice and be killed if I did it that way. I think that's the way that some of us can be. I know I can be like that. We often won't go back to God until we have no friends and we've lost everything. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. Those sheep must be smarter than Andrew's sheep, apparently. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks on ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run from a stranger because they don't know his voice. Let me ask you, whether you're online, whether you're present with us now, do you hear his voice? Maybe calling you even through the reading, the teaching of God's word even now. Do you want to be part of Jesus' flock? To be shepherded by the Ancient of Days, who's gathering his flock to shepherd you through whatever you face in life with strength, with his wisdom, with his love. If you're a wandering sheep, I tell you that the Good Shepherd will bring you back the moment that you have become tired of leading yourself, tired of trying to save yourself, where you're willing to just let him lead you and save you, where you begin to trust for the first time or trust again that his strength, his love, his wisdom is greater for your life than your wisdom, strength, love for your life is. Same's true for me as well. The baby in the manger not only came exactly as God promised, he came to do exactly what God promised he would do through Micah chapter 5, to be our shepherd and the strength of the Lord and the majesty of his name. Everybody in life gets a shepherd. Choose your shepherd carefully. Second Christmas promise we see is this, is that for those who are in this flock, the flock will dwell secure. Verse 4 says it this way, and they, speaking the members of the flock, they will dwell secure, for now he, speaking of the good shepherd, will be great to the ends of the earth. This promise, this Christmas promise of security hits home. It got me thinking about all the ways that we as people often feel insecure, how our fear often cripples us, and how every single person I've ever met, maybe me first and foremost, deals with levels of insecurity at one time or another in one area of life or another. In fact, it's almost hard to imagine what it would feel like to feel completely secure at all times, in all situations, in all circumstances of life. Let me ask you, what are the things that threaten your sense of security these days? Maybe for some, it's school fears. Maybe for others, it's job fears. Maybe it's health fears. Maybe it's political fears. Maybe it's fears about your loved ones, what might happen to them. The list could go on. But it's not just those things. Those are all surface fears, but there's a fear that's under all of those fears. That deeper fear is that any one of these things could be something that would lead to our total demise. But if we listen to the promise of God about the flock of the Messiah this Christmas, we hear this hopeful word that they will dwell secure. Why? Because the day is coming, we're told, when the baby in the manger will be great to the ends of the earth. Well, how does that happen? Well, one way it happens is by those who have met the baby in the manger and taken on his ways and become his disciples and his followers, going and living out in his right and just ways and sharing the good news of great joy of the Savior who's come, Jesus. What will that look like in your life? I don't know, but I know if you stay close to God, the God who is with us, as we just heard, you will learn to recognize your unique mission launched from the manger. A number of years ago, I was back in Pittsburgh visiting my family for Thanksgiving. And our extended family had gathered, and we were all hanging out in my sister's house. My sister pulled me aside and asked if I'd go on a walk with her to a neighbor's house named Kathy. Kathy at the time was 42 years old, married, 3 kids, and dying of cancer, with the doctors telling her that she had about 2 months to live. She had some questions about Jesus, and my sister figured that it might be good to have her brother, who is a pastor, tag along in case it was a question. It's like, I don't know. We got there. I met Kathy, met her family, her husband, her children. Kathy told me with tears in her eyes how my sister was Kathy's angel, is what Kathy said to describe her. Her messenger of God's goodness is what she said. Kathy told me that though the cancer was killing her, that she believes in Christ in large part because of my sister, a CPA by trade, who just is with her, checks on her, has made some meals for her, cleaned her house for her whenever she wasn't able to clean her own house because of the effects of the chemo and the suffering. Kathy then asked if I would gather her family and pray with her, and so I did that. When I left after that time, I was walking down the street towards my sister's house, which was brimming full of extended family and activity and noisy and joyful, but in those quiet moments, I said, Heather, before we go in, I just want to look you in the eyes and I want you to hear that I believe Jesus is proud of you. And I'll never forget her words to me. She said, Tom, Jesus leads some people across the world to join in his mission. He called me to go across the street. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd, of what he's asking and calling you to do? Well, Kathy did in time pass on to go and be with Jesus, where in fact she does dwell secure. From the manger in Bethlehem, God promises and makes clear that in time, the flock of Jesus, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation who respond to Jesus, that they will in fact dwell secure. That's why Jesus continues on in John chapter 10 and says these words in verse 9, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Make no mistake about it, Jesus' unrepentant detractors will one day be separated for eternity from God and from the flock that Jesus is calling to himself. But also, make no mistake about it, the baby in the manger, as Micah prophesied, will stand and lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and then his people will dwell secure. You see, from the beginning, we are told the ending. We are promise the end, which gives us a hope if we trust and believe in that promise. But why can we have faith in that promise that if you're found in the flock of Jesus, that your future is dwelling secure? Because God has already fulfilled the first promise that Micah prophesied, which is that the baby would be born in Bethlehem against overwhelming astronomical statistical odds stacked against him, which gives us the confidence to trust that promise fulfilled in history secures the promise that is coming to each one of us day by day and ultimately with Christ in eternity if we're part of his flock. To dwell secure, what a promise. No fear of ultimate demise. This Christmas promise, it has both eternal as well as immediate benefits for you. Because it means, though, even though the difficulties of life right now might be very hard, might be painful, might be scary, might be confusing, if you're found in Christ, then what you're going to discover is that he will shepherd you through them towards the dwelling of security that he has for you. Because ultimately, if you're found in Christ, what you're saying is that you're not putting your hope in circumstances around you, which, by the way, you probably can't control anyways. And remember, this isn't any different than the very first Christmas because they too had all sorts of hardships that they too were facing in their day. No, you put your trust in Jesus, the promised one, now here, God with us. If you are found in Christ, then you will never be undone. And when it comes to the scariest unknown of them all, which is death, if you are found in Christ, then he will keep you and you will be shepherded even in those moments and you will dwell secure. It's this Christmas promise that makes it possible for the hymn writer to write with confidence, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder does break a new and glorious morn. Which brings us to the third of the three Christmas promises from Micah, which is this, that Jesus himself will be our peace. Every year, I get at least one Christmas card, you probably do too, that connects Christmas with this phrase, peace on earth, which actually comes from the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, I have this kind of fancy, sophisticated Bible software that can search all of the major English Bible translations for any word or phrase. So years ago, I put in the phrase, peace on earth, And in all the translations in English, it only occurs one time. And I'm about to read it to you. Here it is, Luke 12, verse 51. Only time in Scripture that uses the phrase peace on earth. Jesus is speaking. Do you think that I've come to bring peace on earth? No. Merry Christmas, anyway, everyone. Put that on your Christmas card, right? The song in the Christmas card got it wrong, but the verse got it right. I did a little digging, and in the past 3,500 years of human history, there are only 286 years of peace on earth, meaning that there was no known wars happening at that point in time. So if you do the math, what that means is if you set your hope on humanity being at peace with each other, you have a pretty slim shot of that happening for even one of your years throughout your entire life on planet Earth. Luke 2, verse 14, uses the same three words, earth, peace, and on, but it says it differently because it means something completely different. What it actually says is, on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. On earth, peace is very different than peace on earth. The lack of peace is not just about wars in some distant country that maybe we hear about. It's the lack of peace in our own lives. We all have peace destroyers in our lives. Unavoidable circumstances, unbearable people, unexplainable problems, uncontrollable worry, all conspire to rob us of the peace that we're to have in our lives. And whatever it is for you that is doing that right now, after Micah 5 tells us that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, he promises that those who are part of the flock of the Messiah shepherd, he says, and he himself will be our peace. It's not a promise of peace because all of the problems of life are gone. It's a peace right in the midst of all of them. And it all begins with peace with God. To go about your days, even here and now, with an unshakable inner confidence and peace because we know that our standing before God himself has been settled and that we are at peace with God. This points us to the need of the good news and the need for Christmas. We cannot have peace with God without forgiveness of sins. That's why we read this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and as Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And here it is, for he will save his people from their sins. In fact, the name Jesus, what it actually means is the Lord saves. How does that happen? Well, the Lord saves by God's promised Savior, Jesus. And the promised Savior ushers in the other promises of God at Christmas, the ones we just covered, that he offers to take your sins from you, to cleanse you, to make you right with God, to give you peace, but not only that, but also then to shepherd you, to lead you, to guide you, to secure you. Your part is that you trust him, that you come to him by faith, that you're repenting of your sin, that you're asking him to forgive you, to make you one of his sheep, that you want to be included in his flock that he's gathering of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Micah later goes on after the prophecy that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. In chapter 7, verse 18, he says, where is another God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. We can have peace with God. We will have peace in life, and we can have peace for eternity through this Christmas promise. And the promise is that Jesus himself will be our peace. And Jesus himself, when he grows up after being a baby in the manger and becomes a man, he backs up this statement. He says to those who are going to respond to the invitation to be part of his flock in John 14, 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Can we all say amen to that? I don't know the last time the world's given anybody peace anywhere. Goes on and says, so don't be troubled or afraid. You know, unless I'm at peace with God, I'm not part of the solution. I'm still part of the problem. But in Jesus, I can become at peace with God, and from that, I can become a peacemaker in this world. I can become an instrument of God's peace and point others to God's peace as well. You see, following Jesus is not simply a matter of enjoying peace in my own heart, my own relationships, or peace with God, as essential and as important as that all is. But it goes beyond that. It goes further as the Messiah calls us to join in his revolutionary movement of bringing God's shalom to a broken world. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus' birth happened this way, exactly as God promised that it would through the prophets, thousands and even hundreds of years beforehand. And Jesus' birth accomplishes these things, exactly what the prophet Micah recorded that God said they would. You know, this Christmas, I want to invite you to respond to give yourself the hope, the only hope that grows larger and more powerful as you go through life. You know, to be honest, a hope is really only thrilling when it's lasting. Too many hopes thrill us for a moment, but don't even last a few moments past that, let alone a lifetime, let alone an eternity. But this Christmas, the promised Messiah has come to give you these further Christmas promises. For the wandering, he is the good shepherd to guide us back to his good paths for our life. Do you hear him if you're wandering? That he's good and has good plans for your life. For the insecure, he comes to provide you with security, that you might dwell secure. And for the worried, the warring, and the wobbly, he himself can become your peace. Jesus says that his sheep will hear his voice. Can you hear his voice even now through his words reaching to you, even here, even this Christmas? How will you respond? Will you pray with me? God, I know that you give us your word, not only that we might hear it. It's so important to hear your word. Faith comes from the hearing of your word, is what you tell us. But not only to hear, but then also to respond. So I ask now, in these moments, both here, physically present, as well as those who are online, that you would speak. Let us hear your voice and call us to respond. If you're here in the room, I want you to grab this response card. It's in the seat back in front of you. You can go ahead and grab it. Those of you online, you'll also be able to make responses and email in, and we'll follow up with you as well. For some of you, your response is that you need to decide to become part of his flock. God meets our needs and forgives our sins only through Jesus. For some of you, for the very first time, you need to say, I want to be part of your flock, Jesus. Forgive me of my sin because of your work on the cross, your death on the cross, taking on my sin, the penalty of my sin, and making me at peace with God. Forgive me of my sin and fill me with your spirit that I might have peace with God, and then shepherd me, be my good shepherd. Shepherd me all the days throughout my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me a love for your word. If you're making that first-time commitment, if for the very first time you're saying, Jesus, I'm placing all my hope and faith and trust in you. If you're doing that online, We want you to email in and let us know. We'll follow up with you. Others of you present here, this is your moment to fill out the card and just say, I'm saying yes to you, first time commitment. Others of you, maybe you're thinking, well, I've made that commitment before, but man, I have wandered far, and the Good Shepherd has gathered you into this moment to lead you back to his good paths for him. Maybe for you, it's like you need to say, I'm recommitting myself to him. I'm saying yes again to him. I'm facing some things that I can't control, some situations I've gotten myself into that I can't get myself out of. You know, just because you're around a church, just because you are part of a church, doesn't mean that you know Jesus. Can you hear his voice saying, listen, I'm calling you for the first time. Others, you've made that decision. I'm calling you again, wandering sheep, to come back. Maybe others of you, your response is to get baptized. Maybe you've made a decision a long time ago, but you've never taken the next step to get baptized. I want to encourage you to do that. Your very next step after making a decision to say yes to Jesus is to be baptized. Maybe others of you, you're looking at it, and it's that last one where it's like, I want some help investigating who this Jesus is. I have some more questions I have some things I want to work through with someone. And if you fill out that card, mark the last box there, I want to investigate Jesus, will help you. So God, even now I pray in these quiet final moments that you would speak. Do you hear him saying, come be part of my flock? If so, say yes to him. Do you hear him? Maybe you're part of his flock, but you've wandered far. And he's saying, it's time for you to stop wandering, but for you to come close again. Maybe for others of you, you just are racked with insecurity, and you need to hear the promise this Christmas that as you stay close to the Good Shepherd, he will shepherd you, and you can dwell secure. Or maybe, if you're honest, too much of your life is eaten up with warring against others or worrying or wobbly. Whatever it is, you're not at peace. And he himself can be our peace. God, call us to yourself. And because he has fulfilled his past promises of exactly where and how the Messiah would be born, we can have trust and faith to walk in the thrill of hope, because we can become the weary ones who rejoice, because we have a full assurance that because of our response to Jesus Christ, that indeed for us yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And because of that, we can worship and trust him and follow him. So God, we ask now that you would call us and we would respond. In Jesus' name. Now listen, if you made a decision, we want you to record that. You can drop it in the buckets when we exit. If you're online, we want you to email us and just let us know what your decision is. And no matter where you are in seeing this, we will follow up with you as well. And one last time, everybody, whether you're here or online, I just want to say from Allison and I, from the bottom of our hearts, Merry Christmas.